So when you, I don't know how many of you play instruments, but I do. I play guitar. And when a guitar is in tune, it makes a very beautiful sound if you know how to play it. But have you ever heard an orchestra tuning up? Sounds like a raucous lot of cats going at it. They sound discombobulated, and you would think, boy, I'm gonna sit here and listen to this. But when they actually start to play, of course, you have beautiful music. And we can think about our lives like this with God. How in tune are we with God and with His Holy Spirit? If you will, turn to Luke 8. We find a very interesting story here about Christ. Luke 8, and we'll begin in verse 43. It says, "Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any." So if you took this today, this lady had a physical problem and she kept going to doctors and then all her money was gone. Verse 44, "came behind from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped." So she touched the back of Christ's garment as he was walking. Verse 45, "and Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, and I perceived power going out from me.'" Verse 47, "And now when the women saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him, in the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, 'Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace.'" This woman, whose faith it says was strong, believed that just touching Christ's garment would heal her. And indeed it did. But I think more importantly than that is Christ's reaction when she did touch him. Now, he was aware that the power of the Holy Spirit, some part of that had left him. And he knew it immediately. Christ was so in tune with God and with the power of the Holy Spirit that he felt it leaving. It's funny, we were just talking about healing yesterday when we were eating lunch, and how some people have had a similar experience when they've been healed or hands placed upon them and ministers praying over them. But we see that Christ was so in tune with the Father's mind and will that even such a small thing as a woman touching his hem of his clothing, not even him, he felt the power leaving him. His relationship with God and the mind of God dwelling within him enabled this. Now, yesterday was the last day of unleavened bread. It is the first set of spring holidays, or the spring holidays. And it helps us to realize that we can overcome sin, that becoming perfect in the long run is possible. Matthew 5 and verse 48. Matthew 5 and verse 48, Christ says, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, Christ was perfect because he had the Holy Spirit without measure, it says. He could have made a slip along the way, but he didn't. You know, just like us going through the days of unleavened bread, if we're not careful, it's easy to slip back into our old ruts that we are trying to come out of, the things that we established before we took the Passover, the things that we're working on. So this last Sunday, so Saturday was the first day of Unleavened Bread, and then Sunday, my wife and I and Sam decided to go to the zoo. And while there, we, you know, got hungry walking around, and we decided to get a pretzel. Nothing wrong with a pretzel, right? Kind of like a Twinkie, but a little bit harder. But as soon as we, you know, had finished eating the pretzel, about 2 minutes later, I looked at Manuela and I said, "Do you know what we just did? We just ate a pretzel." And she looked at Sam and said, "What did we just do?" And he said, "We ate bread." And then, you know, just dealing with that emotional feeling at that point of, I just ate sin, what I'm trying to come out of it, because I wasn't focusing on it enough. So we have to have a focus in overcoming sin. We have to become more in tune with God and Christ. You know, if we are in tune, then we will realize that our ultimate potential, and that will help drive us forward. It becomes something that we ingrain in our minds. Let's take a look at what David had to say. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we'll begin in verse 1. We'll read to verse 17. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I looked into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly." We'll just stop there. Now, being in tune, it requires so much more than just becoming stagnant. You know, when you play an instrument, after you tune it up, you play it for a while. But it tends to go out of tune after, you know, an hour or two of playing, bending the strings or whatever instrument you play. It always needs tuning. Even if it's just a hair, it still needs a little bit of tweaking. The holy days are like this for us. They help us to anchor on what is true, to hone in and be able to grow, to understand the plan that God has for all of us, for all of mankind. You know, thinking about what happened when the lady touched Christ, I think that all of us can have that same in-depth relationship that Christ had with God. It depends on how much we desire it, how much we are willing to relinquish our own desires. If you will, let's read John 14 and verse 7. John 14 and verse 7 says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you will know him and have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not seen me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." Verse 12, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments." So if we are working on having a relationship with God and Christ, then they will be living with us. That includes keeping the commandments. It's part of having a relationship with God. You can't expect him to just have a relationship with you if you're not being obedient. So it takes a mental attitude. Let's turn to Ephesians 2 and we'll read verse 1 to 5. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem the other better than himself. Let each of you look out not for the interest only of his own, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So when we are called, we are given the ability to tune into a different wavelength, a different attitude, a different thinking pattern. But we once were like the world, right? But we now are different, or we are to be different. And so it takes spiritual wisdom to become different. Let's read and continue in verse 19 of Ephesians 2. There we are. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Now, just as it takes time to build a building, so it takes time to build a spiritual building. so important for each of us to not just think about ourselves, not just think about our own relationship with God, but we should also be thinking about how our relationship with God affects those around us, those of who are in the church. My last scripture, if you look at 2 Peter 3 and verse 16. Second Peter 3 and verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away from the error, or being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory for now, forever, excuse me, to him be the glory both now and forever. We see time and time again the warnings in the Bible, because it is easy to be drawn away by a multitude of things. And it says as it gets closer to the end, that will grow worse. But we are expected, as we just read, to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we can expect to grow, continue to grow our relationship with God, to draw closer to God, and to hopefully continue to become more and more in tune with Him and Jesus Christ.